The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned. But whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the verdict, that the light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come toward the light, so that his works might be exposed. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God." The Gospel of the Lord. We read in the Chronicles of the Jewish people how all the princes and priests and the people had descended into great sin. They had turned against God, their creator, and they had broken the covenant that God had with his people. It says that they added infidelity to infidelity, practicing all the abominations of the nations and polluting the Lord's temple, which he had consecrated in Jerusalem. God sent them prophet after prophet to warn them and to call them back. But no, they ignored them. They beat them. They killed them. They killed the very people who were bringing God's light, because, as the gospel says, they preferred darkness to light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come toward the light, so that his works might not be exposed. Same is true of us. We too have sinned and sinned and sinned. Not so many years ago, when I was a lad, our family belonged to St. James de Chanel Church on Old Georgetown Road. Every Sunday, there were 11 masses. There was one at 6:15 in the morning, and then there were two masses simultaneously, one in the upstairs church and one in the hall downstairs, at 7:30, 8:45, 10, 11:15, and 12:40. And nearly all of those 11 masses were filled to capacity. And I think back on that fact. Every time I hear this line from the book of Chronicles, "until the land has retrieved its lost Sabbaths." I mean, where are all those people? Why has their attendance declined? Population has not declined. What has declined is our love of God. And we can't simply point to the people that didn't come and say, "Well, they're to blame, I'm here." We too have sinned. And we're here in this church to repent of our sins and to give thanks to God for putting up with us, for his limitless forbearance and forgiveness. It's forgiveness that we have not earned and do not deserve. As St. Paul tells us, God, who is rich in mercy, because of the great love he had for us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, brought us to life with Christ. By grace you have been saved. We are so blessed that God does not simply leave us to bear the fruit of our own sinfulness and selfish desires. Remember this, it said in the reading today, "Their enemies burnt the house of God, tore down the walls of Jerusalem, set all of its palaces afire,
and destroyed all its precious objects. And those who escaped the sword were taken captive to Babylon. God allowed them to experience the fruit of their sinfulness. And they were sad. You could hear that. God has spared us their fate, even though their sin, our sin is less evil. And how sad it was for them. And actually, as I listened to Chris sing the responsorial psalm, he did an outstanding job, because you could hear the sadness in his voice. And that's exactly what is meant in that responsorial psalm. By the streams of Babylon we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. On the aspens of that land we hung up our harps. For there our captors asked of us the lyrics of our songs. And how could we sing a song of the Lord in a foreign land? If I forget Jerusalem, may my hand be forgotten. Unlike the Hebrews, Jesus has protected us from despair and has offered us nothing less than salvation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. You know, I recall a story of a family who had a son of about 10 years of age who was habitually late coming to dinner. And he would come home from school day after day, and he'd go out and he'd play with his friends, and he'd lose track of the time, and he'd come in late for dinner. And so one day, his father said to him, from now on, we will have dinner at 6 o'clock. And if you are not here, you will have to get by with bread and water. Well, the next day, his mother fixed his very special favorite dish, which was macaroni and cheese and stewed tomatoes, which just happens to be my favorite dish. When dinner came, his seat was empty. And at 5 after 6, it was still empty. And at 10 after 6, the door flies open, and he runs in, and he can smell what's cooking. And on the table is macaroni and cheese and stewed tomatoes. And at his place are 2 slices of bread and a glass of water. And the rest of the family is getting ready to enjoy the meal. His father looks over at him and he says, son, you were late. And we told you that if you were late, your punishment would be to eat only bread and water. And the boy looked up at his father and he looked back at his plate. And he looked at the macaroni and cheese. By the streams of Babylon we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. Then his father looked over at him and said, what have you to say? And he said, well, I'm sorry, I was late. He said, will it ever happen again? And he said, no, I will be on time for dinner. And the father then picked up his son's plate with the slices of bread and replaced it with his everyone who plate with macaroni and cheese. And then placing the bread and water in front of himself, he said to his son, I will take your punishment. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. You know, John 3:16, often we see on television, if we're watching a sporting event, someone sitting in the stands with a sign that says 3:16. John 3:16 is perhaps the most beloved verse in the Bible. And there are others that are contenders, like love is patient, love is kind. There's also the Lord is my shepherd, shall not want. But I think they're second to, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And how easily that phrase seems to just roll off our tongues. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Perhaps it rolls off our tongue a little too easily. Have we given much thought
to what that action really means. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son. Have we taken the time this Lent to meditate on what God did for us when he gave his only Son? Just like the Father, Jesus says, I will take your punishment. This punishment is rightfully ours. We're the ones who sin. We're the ones who disobey. We're the ones who added infidelity to infidelity. We're the ones who came late to dinner. I will take your punishment. Did that son in our story, when he was enjoying macaroni and cheese, take note that his father was eating bread and water? I hope so. Do we ever meditate on the sufferings of Christ when we hear those words, he gave his only Son? During this Lent, I read a book entitled A Doctor at Calvary by Dr. Pierre Barbet, a French surgeon. And Dr. Barbet examines the crucifixion from a physiological standpoint through a doctor's eyes. The description of Jesus' torments is stunning. And I hope you'll read that book if you ever get a chance. But I will confine my observations to just three. And I think that will be sufficient to cause us to better understand, I will take your punishment. Because this describes what our punishment should have been. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the night before he died, St. Luke tells us, he was a physician, remember, he tells us that he was in agony and he prayed so fervently that his sweat became like drops of blood falling on the ground. And Dr. Barbet explains that this condition, which is not unique to Christ, other people have experienced this same event. It's brought on by a great mental disturbance following on a deep emotion or great fear. And it's called hematidrosis. And it consists of an intense dilation of subcutaneous capillaries, and they become very distended below the surface of the skin, subcutaneous, and when they come in contact with our sweat glands, of which there are millions all over our body, they burst, and the blood comes out as sweat. But what else happens is that the whole surface of the body becomes extremely tender and very painful to be touched. It has great hypersensitivity. And this contributed to Jesus' general weakness as he embarked on the path to the cross. Remember, people did not touch him very gingerly. And he had this hypersensitivity as a result of this hematidrosis. Now let's consider the wounds in the hands. Now, clearly, we can see on the cross here, it shows the nails through his palms. Couldn't have happened because there's no way nails there could have supported the body. The nails actually penetrated through the middle of the wrist. And there is a space through which a nail can go through without breaking the bones. And it allows the wrist to support the body. The nail, when it passes through this space, comes in contact with and damages a medial nerve. And that nerve causes shattering pain throughout the arms. And as Dr. Barbet says, pain so bad that its prolongation is not compatible with life without some suspension of the normal functions. And generally it means a person faints because it's so bad. Lastly, consider the mechanism of death in crucifixion, which is not loss of blood, but asphyxiation. As the body is suspended from the arms, the muscles begin to cramp,
Now, I imagine all of us, at one time or another, suffered through a leg cramp. And you know how very painful a leg cramp can be. Well, if you imagine, if you will, the suffering of Jesus when all of his muscles began to cramp, starting in the extremities and working their way toward the great pectoral muscles. And when the pectoral muscles cramp up, the individual inhales but cannot exhale. And so death follows. I will take your punishment. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That phrase must never just roll off our tongue without consideration of what it meant and what it means. That is love. Love always entails some level of suffering, whether it's just inconveniencing ourselves for the beloved or giving up our life for a friend. That is real love. And on the crucifix is written the greatest love story of all time. And when we repent of our sins and we begin to love God and love our neighbor, we write on the crucifix the sequel to that love story. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Live Jesus.